Welcome to Logger, episode 12. With you tonight is Devin. We also have Jeff and Zachary from the Gen 2 Games IRC channel. Dan wasn't able to make it again. I apologize for not having a show for quite a while. I guess we'll start with some introductions. Zachary, why don't you start?
Well, I've been running the LinuxGames.com site along with Crusader and Marv. I run Deicolus.org/LGFAC, the Linux Gamers FAC. I worked on a book, Programming Linux Games, with Mark Nagel. And I've also run a number of other projects, booths at Linux World and various other things.
So needless to say, you have a fair amount of experience.
Oh, yeah.
And we also have Jeff.
Jeff, yes.
Jeff. What background do you have?
I'm teaching computer graphics and computer games at RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia. And I've been using Unix for a long time. Near on 20 years. More on the education side than the development side, but occasionally dip into some development of one kind or another.
All right. So I guess let's start out talking about Wine.
Cool.
Wine is non-emulator, which is what it stands for. it's a layer of APIs that acts like Windows, but it's not technically an emulator, I guess.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree with you there, unfortunately. The author of Wine, the original author, actually called it an emulator and said the name was just a joke, just like GNU's not Unix. It most certainly is Unix, but they just can't really call it that. It certainly does emulate Windows.
So was it just called that for a joke, or was it also maybe to do with the fact that Microsoft might not like an emulator?
No, I mean, if Microsoft wanted to, they could shut it down any day of the week.
Yeah.
It's really that Microsoft doesn't care.
Jack's made some quite strong points about Wine and Sadiga at times on his websites, and I tend to agree that supporting native Linux ports is really what we'd like to see.
Yeah.
Well, certainly there are ports that have not taken place because of Sadiga. We almost had a game called, I believe it's called Sacrifice. I've never actually played it, but I know that it was canceled because you could basically get to run in what it was called at that time, Winex, and now called Sadiga.
Yeah.
It would have happened. It didn't happen because of that. And emulator or not, it certainly has prevented native Linux ports. And when you buy a Windows game, you're showing that you're not supporting Linux, and no one's going to register that as Linux gaming interest as long as you're playing Windows games, and that's just about it.
Like Zach said, there are some ethical issues with Wine, there's been some confusion on whether it's an emulator or not, but I guess it really doesn't matter. It's what it does. Well, back before March of 2002, Wine was released under the MIT license.
I think it was BSD. Either or, I mean, same thing.
Yeah. And then they, in March of 2002, they changed to the LGPL because they were afraid of people forking it.
Right.
And that's when the Sadiga guys took up that code, and I think they had some license code from Microsoft or something like that.
Yeah, they had license code for CD-ROM security software, SecureROM. This is why you need a no-CD key or no-CD hack in Wine to play games, and not in Sadiga.
Yeah, so Sadiga is now a commercial Wine specific, mostly for games.
That's correct. And and they have a number of developers who started on the LINE program and you know left to go work on Sudoku commercially. And release various products for non-Linux platforms. So there's some confusion as to whether, you know, Linux gamers have been funding, you know, Mac Sudoku software, which they now call Cider, and just came out. And, you know, it's a very complex issue because we can't see internally what's a trans gaming company is doing with the money that they get from their subscription fees. But most certainly, some of it's going to fund macOS gaming, and you know, with this, you know, new version of Sudoku that's has a better user interface and wraps games more completely than it does in Linux.
So, you think that it is indeed making it so there are less Linux games out there?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, you can point to games that haven't been ported because of it, and you don't see developers who have any interest in porting to Linux besides a few, you know, id Software, Savage, who made there's an online RTS game that was ported to Linux, a couple other commercial games, but not too many.
Mm-hmm. Let's mention Introversion just there.
Yeah, Introversion's great. They poured, you know, their Darwinia and their Uplink, which are both, yeah, excellent games. And it'd be great to see more like that too. Indie developers certainly have the best time porting to Linux because they get, you know, the extra 1,000 sales or however many that they get is worth it to them. While it may not be worth it to, say, a bigger publisher like Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the driver, Zach, or do you think that they do it because they're kind of techs who just want to do the Linux thing?
Well, I think that the indies do it because it's for sales, it's because it makes them feel good, it's because it irons out bugs. There are a number of great reasons to port your game to Linux, and you know, those reasons just aren't applicable to large companies when, you know, 1,000 extra sales isn't that much to them.
Well, I think that Introversion, specifically, at least Darwinia, it had a lot of elements of, like, system administration and stuff.
Certainly, I mean...
And so do you think it was maybe one of the reasons they ported it was because the guy runs Linux and he's a Linux user?
The developers, yeah, there are a few of them that use Linux, and they port it because they use it at the end user level and wanted to see another port. You know, it's mostly goodness of your heart thing, really, at this point.
Yeah.
And their new game, is it called DEFCON?
Yeah, DEFCON. Global.
And is that going to be available for Linux?
Most likely. I don't know for sure yet.
I think I read it was, but I can't be positive.
There's some problems with that because they're on Steam with Darwinia now, and if they only release DEFCON on Steam, then it could be less likely to see a version available for Linux.
So is Steam just a distribution mechanism? You can still download Linux games via Steam?
Steam's a distribution mechanism, yes. However, since it also handles purchasing and all, if that's the only way to buy the game, that's the only way to get it, and it encrypts the data on the hard drive. So, for instance, if you go in and get Darwinia from Steam and try to use that version on Linux, you're going to have a little bit of a hard time getting it to work, and it's certainly not supported by the developers. They would rather that Linux users buy a copy.
Which is
how
we
do it.
So, you would say that we probably need companies like Loki?
Well, companies that are better managed. Like, Linking Publishing is still around. They don't buy the AAA titles. But smaller like Magic and Bliss, etc. If more buyers are already out there from Linux Game, we'll see more ports. It's certainly apparently right now there aren't enough developers and time in publishing. So it's really a matter of customers.
So what was it you were talking about with
Well, I run the Quake 3 port, you know, the source release in August of last year. We don't have a release yet, but we're the people trying to make sure that Quake 3 runs on Linux, Windows, and Mac. It's going pretty well. Also, we have security updates, and id Software has even taken some of our changes and integrated them into patches of their own. So we're seeing new games, too, like Tremulous for Linux that are based off of it, and other games like Open Arena that have a bit to go, but are also based off eclipse.org/Quake 3, and you know, you're going to see more easier indie games that are easier for the developers to make, and games that were just mods for Quake 3 will come out with this engine that is now open source, and they can have at least these three platforms, probably more, at release time. You know, like we have Spark and a whole bunch of other random wacky platforms running. It's a pretty interesting thing, and certainly we'll see Quake 4 source released eventually, and I hope the same thing happens again.
Some of the open source games are not as polished as those that are commercial. Do you think this is because of the open source model, the way that open source works, or is this for some other reason?
Well, it's what you said. It's for the open source model, and it's also mostly for the fact that there aren't that many artists working on these games. If you're a good artist, you work for a company already, and your free time is basically totally gone. So this also happens with programmers too. The guys who ported Aliens vs. Predator, for instance, you don't see that port updated because the folks who worked on that are out of college and working in the game industry already. But certainly with solely indie open source games, you can see bad graphics mostly because they just aren't good artists and they don't have the money incentive like doing a commercial game to put out a product. Certainly the Civilization Code and FreeCiv is one of the most obvious examples. It's an excellent game, it just lacks good art. There are all sorts of examples of it.
Do you think the artists haven't been attracted to using Linux because some of the key modeling packages haven't been available for Linux up until now?
Oh, that's certainly part of it. Maya is just available now, I believe. There's Blender, and there's a few other packages, but there's no end-to-end solution. You're missing things like Photoshop. However much we like the GIMP, it just isn't a Photoshop clone, and it's not good enough for these people.
Yeah.
They want the tools they've been using for years, and we also need more tools like that and more user friendliness, and those tools will come if there's ever more desktop reception to Linux.
Yeah, I hold some hope that Collada is going to solve some of the kind of data interchange issues that have been around.
Who did you say?
Collada.
I've heard of them.
Collada's the 3D file format for interchange of game assets that Sony's been developing for the last year or two, Sony and others, and it's now implemented, or there's importer exporters in most of the main modeling packages, including Blender, and they specifically developed it for the PlayStation 3.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, things like that could certainly help. Being in Blender is excellent. If people can just take their models, export them to Blender, And another thing artists, another issue with artists is that they don't want to give their work away for free, and they don't want other people, they're usually pretty big on getting credit for what they do. So, the guy who works on Tremulous, Timmy, he's, always had a problem with getting artists, and I think lots of products do. They may have the best coders in the world, but if they can't get an artist, and if they can't get free content, then they have a problem.
Yeah,
Zach, do you think that there's a kind of a difference in programmers and students who are becoming programmers are attracted to the idea of open source? Of course, they end up wanting jobs, but they're still attracted to the whole notion of open source. Do you think that there's a kind of a cultural difference, or just a kind of a lag in terms of that that approach, that open source approach, shifting over to the art world?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly is. It's that these artists, we just don't see them in Linux. You go into any Linux IRC channel, And, you know, almost everyone there has some familiarity with programming, and no one has any art skills. It's just okay, really a sad situation.
Because where I do see the artists quite happy to promote their work and just put it up is DeviantArt.
Yeah. And even like in the GNOME and KDE projects, there are plenty of artists, and those people just don't seem to translate over to the game projects, and they just aren't there. They either don't have the 3D modeling talent, or they just aren't interested. And you know, obviously this is a huge problem. And why you keep seeing GIMP's Blue Supernova in Tux Racer or whatever.
I wonder whether that's just a question of the artists coming from backgrounds where they typically still use Macintoshes or PCs, and that Linux just hasn't really wound up on any of the desktops in universities for them to get familiar with it.
Oh, certainly. And, the programs that the artists are in, maybe they don't see any Linux PCs ever. They might, render off to them, use the server farm, or they have, one guy who understands Linux, and he goes out and sends it off to the server farm for rendering.
Because some of the students I was speaking to at one stage weren't even quite familiar with the some of the Creative Commons type licenses directed to artwork rather than open source licenses.
Yeah, there needs to be more exposure for Creative Commons, and that's there are a whole host of problems here why we're not seeing artists, and that's certainly one of them is lack of licensing exposure to the artists. Yeah, they have to realize that they will get credit for their work if they use the right license, and there's some self policing that needs to go on there for open source projects to make sure they give credit. And I think the right opportunities could emerge certainly for more artists to be using Linux, or at least contributing to open source games that'll show up on Linux.
I think there was an effort using Blender to make some creative works, not games, but creative works nonetheless, that were relatively high profile to be shown at SIGGRAPH, I think, and licensed under one of the Creative Commons type licenses.
Yes, there certainly are. There was a neat short film that I saw that was made entirely in Blender and was Creative
Elephant's
Commons.
Dream.
Yeah, that was it. And it was really pretty, and it certainly shows what you can do if you put your time to it. There's certainly a higher learning curve to Blender if you haven't used it before. So people are going to, Blender is a huge, help for this kind of thing, and the more Creative Commons assets get out there, and especially if we see a nice interface for people to find assets for their open source games, then we'll see more of those. And it would be, it has to be something like DeviantArt that is very attractive to artists and very approachable.
Yeah.
Since artists aren't always programmers, and largely aren't, they don't really want to deal with command lines and conversion tools like that aren't friendly.
One of the things that we're doing in our games programs, it's not even though I'm on the computer science side, we've quite specifically got artists and game designers doing an intertwined set of degrees, where the artists in first year work with the programmers. And so there's that cross-fertilization right from the outset. And I actually hold some hope that some of those kind of issues about getting familiar with different sets of technologies will actually flow from that kind of cross-fertilization.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. We need more programmers who are familiar with artists and artists who are familiar with programmers, and we'll see their college projects, come to Linux, and Maybe they'll, if we're lucky, have interest in it for the rest of their lives as they move into the game industry.
But one of the big issues that I see at the moment is that without some kind of a new mega hit that runs under Linux, that to some extent Linux, without an MMORPG, there's so many people playing games now that just aren't running on Linux. The FPS is still there, but the MMORPGs aren't.
Yeah, I mean, we many many people don't know, but we had a working line of Nade World of Warcraft. And this was not really Blizzard. I suppose it was fear of having to support Linux. It was actually at day one. I played it.
Wow.
And
that never got out.
Could have had that. It would have been such a slam dunk for Linux.
And so there's still resistance to going down that pathway even now?
Yes. It just isn't for a reason. The man who created SimpleDirectMediaLayer works at Blizzard. And ported that in his spare time, no cost to Blizzard. So it certainly should have happened.
That's somewhat tragic.
Very much so. Linux gaming is full of tragic stories like that. It'd be really great if that's not going to happen as long as Valve doesn't like Linux. You know, the ported for decades and that's the end of it.
Switching to kind of a different angle on it, though, the libraries, the development environment, just the way Linux is maturing in general, despite some technical difficulties we had earlier ourselves, it does seem to me that the whole Linux world is rapidly getting very good to the point where there's not that many technical barriers.
It's been getting rapidly very good for the past 10 years, unfortunately. We've had all sorts of false starts.
Yeah, that is true, but gosh, you know, when I start up the Linux desktop now, it's just chalk and cheese compared to what I think I used to see 5 years ago.
Oh, certainly it's much better. GNOME and KDE are responsible for making that end user experience very acceptable. However, there's still a lot of problems. The fact that some of the major distributions are still very broken in certain special ways. Ubuntu makes you run a shell script to even get DVDs playing at all, or at least did last time I tried it. All sorts of little things like that break the user experience, you know, scare people off. And we need that kind of thing fixed before we'll see wide desktop acceptance on the end user and not just in banks or some other place where people are forced to use it.
Yeah, I guess we should put in a little bit of a plug for Gentoo there.
Oh, certainly. Gentoo's not for the average person. I use it because it works the best for games and you have the most options with it. It's just a very, not friendly operating system.
Yeah, but for Linux gamers, not that I've run any other distros for the last 3 years, but certainly the support in Gentoo for Linux games seems to be pretty good compared
to... Yeah, it's very good. Some of the Gentoo developers, are very big into Linux games, and certainly when you see a Gentoo booth at a Linux World, you'll see them running games and show that they can, and they'll be running them well. It doesn't really make a difference in frame rate, what version of Linux you're running. The only thing that matters is a scheduler and a couple other obscure kernel options and what services you might be running in the background. Certainly, even a base Slackware box can run games well.
Yeah, I might just if it's okay with you guys, the one game that I play to any extent is a UT 2004 mod called Alien Swarm. Probably only got 50, maybe 100 regular players worldwide. Coming back to the Linux side of things, when I first started playing that maybe 2 years ago, I think about a third of the people playing, roughly, and there were many more back then, were running Linux. But now it's down to probably me and one or two others who run it under Linux.
Yeah, there are certain problems with that, and since you're in Australia, maybe you see a few less players than you would otherwise.
Oh, there's no one else in Australia. I'm talking worldwide.
Oh, okay. There's obviously a huge problem with games that are available being unknown. Many people, I still talk to people who use Linux and don't know that Quake 3 or Unreal Tournament 1, Unreal Tournament 20.3 and Unreal Tournament 24 work in Linux. They just don't know.
Well, what I find a little bit odd is that some of the people who play Alien Swarm, they're doing computer science degrees, and they're programmers, and they're somewhat attracted to running Linux. And maybe I've got the numbers a bit wrong, but I don't think they're totally wrong. You know, the essential point is that even amongst the people who are pretty techie, if you like, they're not necessarily disposed to running games under Linux.
Oh, certainly. I mean, that's just more of the same. I think that's mostly more of the same issue. Like, you don't have, you don't have, like, Microsoft Word and other things that they require for their schools or whatnot under Linux. OpenOffice, however nice it may be for basic documents, cannot properly handle many things properly. And until we see more, desktop acceptance, we're not going to see, even CS majors all running Linux. And certainly Apple's OS X has contributed to the downfall somewhat. I mean, Ryan Nicholas Gordon certainly runs OS X as his main, laptop operating system. And most people do these days.
Well, I see a lot of interest amongst CS students, CS majors in Linux. Some of that translates over to them trying games there, but in the end, they, because of the mix of games, and they're not interested in playing Linux, only the games that run under Linux, the commercial games, and so they wind up just kind of adopting Windows as their game platform, even if Linux is what they have lots of interest in from the technical side.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of the problem. If they're missing that one game like Battlefield 2 or Counter-Strike Source or whatever it is, they're going to boot back to Linux, to Windows, excuse me. And, any time they spend in Windows is a loss for us. They won't be thinking about Linux, they won't be playing Linux games, and they certainly won't be buying them from sites like tuxgames.com. So, it's a huge loss any time anyone spends in Windows and doesn't use, Linux just even for the desktop. There needs to be a significant, more significant Linux game releases. And it's kind of a chicken and egg problem, You have to see those customers before people will port games in general. Yeah. Id Software and Epic are just very different companies and are nice enough to release their games under Linux.
So how do you think virtualization is going to play into this kind of whole debate?
I don't think it plays very big a role. I mean, certainly you can't play 3D, intensive games under virtualization, at least not yet, that I'm aware of. And the other way around, you can run Word. Yes, that's an excellent. People can run Word under Linux using virtualization or whatever. That gets them in Linux more. That gets them, going to websites using Linux and thinking about it and maybe buying a Linux game or two. And even if you just run the Linux game client of, say, Quake 4, it reports back to id Software. They know that you're running Linux. So if you play it under Linux, they'll know. And that's a great thing. The more people that show up using it, the more likely you'll see, future ports. And it's a very, important thing, not just to buy them, but to also play them and use multiplayer games online.
So does Epic keep stats as to how many people are playing under Linux?
Yes, they do.
Have you got any information about how the, what the proportion of people playing Linux, playing UT 2004, for example, under Linux is?
I don't know what it is today, but I can tell you that when I last heard it, it certainly wasn't a large number. It's a couple thousand, maybe more than you'd think, but not as many as you'd like. Maybe 5,000 at the most.
And do you know if that's been trending up or down?
No, I don't. I do know that, certainly we need more people playing under Linux. And, and since people like game companies like Epic are keeping track, they know. And that'll translate to more ports. Especially from the people who license engines like, if you go and license the Unreal Engine and make your new game, you'll think about doing a Linux port more if you have, concrete numbers from Epic that say, there are this many people extra who will buy it.
Do you think it's as hard-nosed in terms of, being purely driven by financial considerations as that?
For companies that aren't Epic and id Software, yes. If they don't have Linux people in the company in influential places, you'll have problems like Blizzard did, and then you won't see the ports. It's that, people in those companies aren't interested in Linux and don't have any concrete proof of financial you know, reliability that you just don't see these numbers. It's also a matter of, you know, support. It's, you know, we don't run Linux here. We don't know how to support it. Even releasing an unsupported binary looks bad to, you know, to them, because it's, they'll still get support calls for it, just like they still get support calls from, you know, people who pirate the game. So there are a whole host of issues as to why we don't see more Linux games.
So if we turn to a different style of game, and I guess some people's definition may not include Second Life, but Second Life's just recently released a Linux client, beta, I think.
Yes, and Ryan Gordon also ported that. you know, Second Life's a very interesting game. One of the problems with that is, and it certainly demonstrates another problem with Linux, which is why the America's Army port was canceled, is, and Second Life has a similar problem in that there's so much middleware. There's, you know, Second Life has the Mozilla web browser embedded in it, and while it's ported to Linux, it's not easy to handle. It takes longer to compile because of it, and it's a more difficult port the more middleware you add. And companies like the people who develop FMod, which you may have heard of.
FMod's from Melbourne, actually.
Yeah, and you know, it's a piece of sound middleware for commercial games, and they have a free version too, but for a commercial game, you have to pay per platform for that piece of middleware. And this goes for most middleware. You have to pay per platform, and then, you know, Linux port is another platform, so they want you to pay an extra $5,000. And, well, you know, that costs money to the game developer or publisher, and they don't want to do it for Linux. You know, they're certainly justified in the fact that they may not see that much money back in sales due to the fact that they have a Linux client. It's certainly why America's Army is canceled, and that and a lack of time.
Did Linden Labs quite specifically want to do a Linux port?
Yeah, they've wanted to do a Linux port for a very long time, and this Linux port is a good example of what, you know, what we'll have in the future. You know, it currently doesn't have sound and it crashes fairly often, but it'll be great to see more versions come out, and hopefully not in beta version sometime.
Are they doing that for technical interest within Linden Labs, or are they really thinking that, you know, there's another market to tap into?
Well, Second Life is a very interesting thing, and it's not so much a game as it is, a kind of a metaverse or whatever you'll call it. And that also has a scripting system, and it seems very appealing to Linux users. And for Linden Labs, I think that they'll see certainly quite a number of Linux users using it if the client gets fully ported and supported in the future.
It's my understanding is that Second Life, which I've only gone and had a look at once or twice, but that the number of women playing or using Second Life as a proportion is quite high compared to other games, at least.
Did you say the number of women using it?
I think that I've seen reports that the number of women playing Second Life is actually quite high.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. You can replace it anyway. So it hasn't changed too much. Certainly worth buying, I think. If you especially if any interest in emulators for games like the Nintendo Entertainment System and Genesis, both emulators.
Yeah, I run MAME occasionally. MAME showing students older games.
Yeah, that runs into this too. And one of the most interesting features of the GP2X is that you can go up to a television, for a big screen action later on.
Mm-hmm. All right, Devin, how long do you normally go for?
We're 47 minutes in now.
Oh, wow.
And how long do you normally run for?
I don't know. Pretty long. It's usually... I think it's usually an hour or something, I'm not sure.
Oh.
All right, well...
We just go until we can't talk anymore.
And
yes.
Which distro are you running, just as a matter of interest?
Gentoo.
Oh, okay. Cool. And which games do you play?
I haven't really stuck to many games, exclusively. I've been playing some Sayer Brighton... Or Sour Brighton or...
Sour Brighton?
Yeah, that one. And some Legends recently.
Oh yeah, Legends looks really good, doesn't it? I think it's a Tribes clone?
Yeah. It's a pretty nice game. I tried it earlier, I guess it was a few months ago, and no one was on, so it was kind of boring, but if someone's on, then it's a really fun game.
Hmm. Yeah, it looks like it's using the sort of open source Tribes 2 engine, and you know, really benefits from that.
So one of the issues in Gen 2 right at the moment, it's wider than that, is OpenAL transitioning from an older version of OpenAL to the newer version that has free ALUT split out?
Well, yeah, I'm not too familiar with that. I assume free ALUT is some kind of other interface to it, or...
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is either, but it was some APIs that used to be included just in libOpenAL, but they've been split out recently, and that breaks some things.
Yeah, I did hear about the breakage. I think Dan talked about it on the show in an earlier episode.
Oh.
So with... going back to SEO, do you think that DirectX 10 is going to steal some developers away from Linux, or is it going to be like too much cost to learn a new API and whatnot?
I think DirectX 10 is going to have a very interesting impact in that Microsoft is expanding its Live Anywhere service to Windows now, so there'll be a number of other things included with DirectX 10, such as that may make it harder to port games to Linux. And you know, certainly the big guys like id and Epic will probably do their best to continue to support Linux even if they do support DirectX 10. But there will be some games that maybe in the past have either said that they'd have a Linux port and won't in the future because of DirectX 10, or just will never happen anyway because of it. There are a great deal of interesting new features that are available in DirectX and not in OpenGL easily, and that's been a problem in the past. That's why you didn't see the license plate on your Unreal Tournament 2004 Hellbender Humvee. It took a long time to get that ported properly, and it's only in like the latest patch that you saw it. So it's a very similar problem to that. It might happen. We'll have to play, wait and see, and we really don't have much of a choice anyway. So,
yeah.
It's really up to the developers, to see what they actually implement from DirectX 10, especially if it has any kind of direct play. Like older versions of DirectX, which also prevents Linux networking on the multiplayer side.
One thing Devin knows that the PlayStation 3, Sony's confirmed, will be using OpenGL-ES. So these, the large game companies are still going to have to support OpenGL if they want their games to run on PS3.
Yeah, but I don't know about what other people think, but it doesn't seem the PS3 doesn't seem to be getting much. Developer love lately.
Well, the what you see from the media and what you see from the developers is actually two different things for the PlayStation. Most people know that the PlayStation will sell out at launch, and it certainly does have a big. People will be making games for it. They'll probably have very little choice about the matter because their publishers are going to be saying, people love the Sony brand and will buy anything Sony puts out.
Yeah.
So, it's not going to be, I certainly don't think Sony's going to go out of business or stop making PlayStations in this cycle. They might have less of a, if they screw up and don't lower their price next year for PlayStation 3, yeah, maybe that'll really hurt sales, but most likely. They'll drop the price and people will continue to buy their PlayStation products. And the developers will have to support it. And, the OpenGL-ES certainly does help us there.
Yeah. And Devin, it's sort of worth pointing out that Kronos has now, OpenGL.org has folded over into Kronos, and Kronos has, I think last time I checked, near 100 corporate members. And almost everyone who's in the computer industry but for Microsoft are members of Kronos. So there's a lot of support for the set of APIs that are being developed under the Kronos banner, not just OpenGLES, but Collada, OpenVG, OpenCode, I think, is the name they're using for this kind of umbrella set of APIs that they're developing, which probably have, you know, overlap with SDL to some extent in some places. But there's a whole story emerging there at Kronos. Oh, and Collada's there, of course.
Yeah, Kronos looks really interesting. Certainly, this Collada, it seems to be a way to more properly import and export models and whatnot among different programs. I think so, anyway. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a it's XML based, which you know is not necessarily any panacea, but
yeah, Sony just looked at this.
Yeah, Sony just looked at the issue for their PlayStation 3, and I guess it was basically because their developers were saying, to some extent, we'd really like a universal digital asset exchange mechanism, and Sony, I think it was some arms of Sony Research. I forget the name of the research labs. I think they're in Silicon Valley, actually, the Sony research labs there, have been amongst the prime movers on Collada. But it's now got, at least initially, but it's now got quite widespread support, including all the major modeling and animation packages.
Yeah, and just like the open document format for Word-like programs, something like this will certainly help out, as long as there aren't extensions to it or whatnot that are specific to Windows or DirectX or whatever. And since like you said, Sony is interested in it and it works with Blender, it could be a really good thing for sharing and working on games from a commercial standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a huge boon, in fact. Google Earth supports import of Collada-based data. Not that I've tried it, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah, Google Earth is a really good supporter of that kind of thing. And, maybe if we're lucky, we'll get Google SketchUp to Linux in the future, which is, a really easy 3D modeling package. Mainly seems to be for simple, quick modeling as opposed to in-depth detailed modeling, but it certainly looks very interesting, and it'd be great to see support of that as well. I assume that supports Collada, or it should anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one of the modeling packages for Google Earth supports Collada directly, but Google Earth, there's just some notes there saying does support Collada import.
Yeah, that is a really interesting thing. If they can, if you see more packages using it and, bringing us more assets for our games, commercially, but also especially for open source games, seeing more of those using Collada would be excellent. And, especially if there were a free repository or, a Creative Commons Collada models and other objects and textures and whatnot, then you could certainly see more Linux games coming out of that.
Yeah, in terms of just that kind of whole open source sharing meme, Collada taps quite nicely into that.
Yeah, looks like it. And certainly getting more artists aware in any shape or form of sharing what they make, is a good thing. The more aware they are of Creative Commons, the better. And maybe in their spare time when they're not working on commercial projects, they'll make some things for people to use freely.
Well, just taking that one step further, there's a whole lot of commercial developers. We've got the independent scene, but a lot of the mods, you know, this whole idea of community-based mods where no one's really looking to get paid, but people just work on things because they want to, including some artists. And I guess, you know, I've seen that in Alien Swarm, where people seem to have spent enormous amounts of time developing new levels, new campaigns.
Yeah, and that's a really good thing. You may not know this, but the people who are making Enemy Territory Quake Force, who are making that are started out as modders on a Quake 3 mod called Quake 3 Fortress. You've probably heard of Team Fortress.
Right.
And those people, you know, made a mod for Quake 3 and then went on to making these commercial games like Enemy Territory. And, you know, it's a very good step in the right direction for these people to be interested in, you know, community mods and sharing their assets. And that'll get, you know, more free assets. And these people get exposure, and it's a really good cycle to be in.
And that's, you know, according to some people, one of the reasons that the movie industry is suffering declining attendance at cinemas is that, well, games are increasingly taking people's attention, but more than just that, it's the fact that the games industry is actually encouraging community input, community stuff, whereas the movie industry chases after anybody who starts to possibly infringe on copyright issues.
Certainly, yeah, that's a huge problem for, you know, the movie industry. But and you know, you don't see so much community content on console games, though. That might be changing with more powerful game consoles that are more like computers. You know, if the PlayStation 3 actually ships with Linux on it, you might see some form of, you know, built-in community, you know, content creation stuff there, and that would be certainly excellent, a good leg up for people to get into the modding community and making their own games. And with game engines like Eclipse.org Quake 3 and other free or open source ones, you know, that they have Crystal Space, for instance, they have a good place to put their assets, and maybe they don't have to code so much. Maybe they can only script. But still, it's a good step in the right direction for getting their games out there and on as many platforms as possible.
Yeah, I don't know how much money the Make Something Unreal competition eventually gave out, but my understanding is that the total prize pool was on the order of $1 million US.
Well, that was also in licensing money. Or really what they got was a free license to make a commercial game. I believe it was the Alien Swarm mod that won that, or I think so. Maybe it was Red Orchestra.
Yeah, no, Alien Swarm didn't win it. I think it was Red Orchestra that won it.
Well, and yeah, that's a good example and it's a bad example. I mean, obviously Red Orchestra, they went from being a mod team working on a free mod to selling their product commercially over Steam, so we don't see a Linux client version of that, and that's a real shame. You know, certainly it could have been ported very easily, but we don't see it, since it's harder to support a non-Linux version at this point, since they're on Steam.
But the original mod certainly used to run under Linux quite fine.
It did to some extent. It had another problem where under Linux, if you used the sniper zoom, it didn't render correctly unless you set something and in the menus, and that was a bit of a problem. So it was never properly supported, but it certainly did run.
Yeah, and I guess I see some of, you know, fine detail issues with Alien Swarm occasionally, but I wonder whether, you know, that's just some breakage under Linux that people don't see under Windows.
That's certainly a problem. There aren't many times these developer teams, they release a zip file and hope it works, and there really isn't that much support there from them for the Linux or even the OS X side.
Yeah, and so even though we're talking about Linux, The games under the Mac, I was having a debate with someone at work. It seemed to me that more games were actually supported under Linux than what there were on the Mac.
Well, there are a number of games that are under Linux that aren't on Mac because Linux is available on the Intel platform before Mac was, so it was an easier port. Many Mac ports run, you know, don't run the greatest, and or didn't at least on the PowerPC. So them switching to Intel helps us out in a way because, you know, the more Mac ports they have, the more likely there's a Linux port.
And the Mac is important because it uses OpenGL, or I think it uses, you know, the games that go on the Mac tend to use OpenAL and SDL.
Yes, certainly, yes, they do. Ryan Gordon, in fact, you know, Aculus, he worked on a, he's worked on quite a few Mac games as well, so you know, they certainly do use SDL and OpenAL and OpenGL. They have no choice at the moment, though, you know, with things like, Transgaming's offshoot of Sudoku Cider, you know, you might see games that are, you know, using Windows emulation on Mac as well as they do on Linux. And that would actually, you know, if they're still using DirectX and that Windows emulated, or whatever you want to call it, you know, Windows pretendulated version, you won't see any port to Linux because of that. It certainly didn't help us if they're, you know, not actually using those libraries, OpenGL and whatnot. It's a real problem. In a number of ways.
Well, and is UT 2007 going to come out with Linux support?
I expect it'll ship a couple months after, or maybe a month after the Windows version. If we're lucky, it'll be on the CD, like it was with Unreal Tournament 2004. Or I suppose it'll be a DVD at that point. You know, I'm hopeful. As long as Ryan Gordon is still alive and not hit by a bus, we'll probably see a 2004. We're really screwed if for whatever reason he isn't with us and working on Linux games, since to a large extent he's porting the AAA titles these days.
And, you know, it's great to hear Ryan's furiously busy, but can't he get someone else to give him a hand?
You know, you'd think so. The problem is that there are very few people who have this kind of skill that he does of the tremendous amount of knowledge he has from playing all these other games, you know, like Descent 3 when he worked at Loki, and from there Eric learned how to do so many things that it doesn't take him very long to do these kinds of ports. So there just aren't that many people who are interested and dedicated enough to do these things, especially if you're starting from a DirectX space. They just don't know OpenGL or how to port to it from DirectX.
So there might be an opening for someone else to help Aculus out if there was someone who had, you know, the right kind of knowledge set.
Certainly. And, you know, there's plenty of those places to learn. There are all sorts of indie games that aren't Linux yet, but are open source. And you know, that's a good place to start to learn. If only we can see more people doing that and then going and writing to a company and saying, you know, hey, I'll port your game for free. If you just release binaries once I make them. You know, they'll probably be receptive. Email your companies, maybe 10 of them will respond. You know, it's 10 more games.
Yeah, just even, you know, from a long way away, I can see how furiously busy Aculus is. Even as far as, you know, the Bugzilla on aculus.org for UT 2004.
Yeah, there's plenty of unfinished parts of UT 2004 that people say. Unfortunately, it's unlikely to see many more patches. They're working hard on UT 2007. And though Aculus might not be working on that directly right now, he'll be working on it in the future. And if there are any more licensees that use that Unreal Engine, he'll be working on those.
Yeah.
At least for the dedicated server.
Yeah. And you know, there's bugs in there that in the bugs of Onikolos.org that, you know, go back probably 2 or 3 years and probably mostly stale by now.
Certainly. Some of them may not even be relevant, some of them are. Hopefully those kinds of things will be, you know, ironed out a little bit better in FT2007. Certainly if more people use it, the bugs will get fixed faster because there will be, you know, obvious Epic that should be supported, and they'll bug Icolus and have him fix these things more often. Mm.
And so, do you know if UT2004 for the Athlon 64 under Linux, whether there's a GCC 4.1 build?
No, I don't. I don't know if it's a GCC 4 build. I do know that Ryan's, you know, experimented with various compilers at various points. It doesn't really make a difference in user support. Certainly, it's harder to support binary compatibility in Linux sometimes. There have been a couple major shifts, and this is why some older Loki games might not run so well anymore. Because of libc, GNU libc, and GCC changes that make them incompatible.
Yeah, the binary that I've got for UT2004, the Athlon 64 binary, I guess it's 2 years old now.
Something like that.
So I think it's a GCC 3.4.
Probably. It doesn't really make that much of a difference, I don't think, to the end user. Maybe a minimal speed up. But at this point, it does run very well.
Yeah, and by and large, it does run very well. Just having a slight issue with OpenAL at the present.
Yeah, OpenAL in Linux is oddly enough not as well supported as it is in Windows. But you know, it's certainly good that support at all.
Yes. Hello, Devin. It's probably time that I head off and conquer the world. What time is it your part of the world, Devin?
It's 10 p.m. here.
Okay, well, it's just gone 1 p.m. here, and lunchtime.
Yeah, it's pretty late for me, too.
Alright. So I guess we'll wrap things up. This has been yet another logger.